I never heard that.
That's a good song. Good song. Don't see many people rejoicing in the storm, amen. God's working all things. All things. Not just the things you think, all things. Not for my good so much, but what? For His good. Amen. Enjoyed that this evening. Well, it is a joy to have Brother Matt with us this evening. And I heard a lot of good things about him, except from Tony. But I've heard a lot of good things from him. No, we appreciate this young man, how he loves the Lord. And I asked Brother Tony to see if he'd come preach for us. So, brother, you come on. He's out of the Love Valley Baptist Church down in Kings Mountain area. I don't know if that's what it is, but that area anyway. Every time somebody says Love Valley, my mind goes to where I live. There's a Love Valley up there, but they're the other way. But I appreciate this young man. His stand for the Lord, his love for the Lord. So you open your hearts, just let the heart of the Lord speak to your heart. If God speaks to your heart, you need to move, move. Amen. You're not going to hurt His feelings. I promise you that. And you just mind the Lord this evening.
All right. You find your place in Galatians chapter 5 this evening. Galatians chapter number 5. I want to say I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach. I don't take it lightly. And I know myself, and I know I'm the last one in the building that's worthy to stand behind the pulpit, but I'm thankful for a God that overshadows our faults, amen, and makes them look pretty small. I thought two things while they were singing. Thought number one, I guess after they were singing, I guess we should have had a brother down here praying for rain. If we can get a hold of God to get it to stop, maybe we can get a hold of God for it to keep going. And also thought, old brother that was leading the singing down here with that wavy black hair and them glasses on, I was waiting for him to pull his shirt apart and have a big S underneath it. Look like Clark Kent up here leading the music. Didn't know y'all was a famous church like that. Amen. But Galatians chapter number 5, I'll go ahead and be quiet. I don't want to tell too many stories. Anna told me to be quiet. So she was a little nervous about that. So we'll go ahead and find our place. You know, I've been studying this out for a while, and our text will be in verse 16 through 18, but we'll go ahead and begin in verse number 1. I don't ever think it's a problem to read the Word of God, amen, and catch up on it a little bit. So if you look with me, verse number 1, the Bible said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Amen. "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Now to understand the text, you must understand in the book of Galatians, Paul is speaking to the church at Galatia. They had had issues with Judaizers coming and preaching works as a type of salvation. And we understand, you know, there's no necessity for works. But let me say, I'm the farthest thing there is from a Calvinist, but we don't put much faith in a salvation that doesn't work after that. Amen. We don't work to be saved. We work because we're saved. And that's what Paul here in Galatians is portraying to this church. Verse number 6, or 7, excuse me, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord," the only thing we can have confidence in, "that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Now, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." So many truths in those first 15 verses we could preach all night. Verse number 16, those where our text will begin, the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust of the, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatreds, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, rebellings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, but they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Lord, I'm sure thankful for another time to be in the house of God. Lord, I realize, God, how unworthy I am of salvation, Lord, but I thank you. You gave your life for a sinner like me. God, I'm thankful, Lord, you found fit to come by my way. God, almost 12 years ago, August the 9th will be 12 years, found me in my lost condition, changed my life, Lord. I'm thankful for that. Thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to be in this place tonight. God, help us never take for granted the ability to be in the house of God. Lord, but I know I stand where no man stands alone. I need your help. God, I realize there ain't nothing I can say to help these people. Lord, I can't help my own self. I know I can't help anybody else. God, but I pray you take the word of God tonight and use it to speak to hearts. God, I pray, Lord, you'd do it, God, and reprove, rebuke, but I pray you'd exhort us, Lord, rub the salve where it needs to be. God, we need your help, Lord. We're trusting you to do what you said you would. You said we're two or three. God, a gathering in your name, there you be also. We need you tonight. It's in the name of Jesus, and I pray. Amen. Amen. The story is told of a blacksmith during medieval days. The blacksmith was directed by his king to forge the strongest chain that the blacksmith could do. And, you know, wanting to please the king, we don't want to please our king, and especially Donald Trump. I want to please Donald Trump. I like the man. But say you got a king, he's wanting to please his king, the blacksmith. And so he went and he got to work and he started to forge the strongest chain that he could forge and went to work on it and took him several days and he brought it before his king. And the king looked at it and said, I need you to take it back and I need you to make it stronger and I need you to make it longer. Wanting to please the king again, he took it home and he began to work on this chain a little more, began to forge this chain a little stronger. I began to make it a little longer and brought it back before the king. And the king's response was the same. I need you to take it back. I need you to make it stronger. I need you to make it longer. This went on several times. The story goes it went on about 5 or 6 times. And finally, the blacksmith brought this chain. Brought this chain to the king, the strongest and the longest chain that he can make. And as he brought it to the king's first response was well done. Then he directed his guards to bind this man with the chain that he had made. And the men took the chain and bound this man hand and foot and threw him into jail. You know, here in the text, I told you about what Paul here is trying to preach, trying to teach to this church at Galatia. They had been taught by these Judaizers that the works were a necessity to salvation, that servitude and dressing right and doing this and doing that, that was a necessity to salvation in their lives. And although that's not true, in chapter number 5, Paul here is admonishing these people to live a holy and a separated life. You know, I'm afraid that's something in 2018 that has not become the goal, but has become the exception. It's not something we really strive for. It's not something we really push for. It's not something we really desire. It's something we think only the preacher can have. It's something we think only the preacher's wife can have. But let me say, this is youth night, young people. You can live a holy and a separated life. Paul here is admonishing them to live separated from the flesh. In our text we find where Paul begins to talk about the battle that is warring, the battle that is raging against the flesh and against the spirit. He says that the spirit lusteth against the flesh. As I told that story of the blacksmith, let me say that's exactly what lust does in our lives. That's exactly what the lust of the flesh does in our lives. It's something that we build. It's something that we forge. It's something our hands do. It's something that we build on our own selves. But what you build, young person, is what's going to take you down. Hey, Paul here is admonishing these people that it is important to live a holy and a separated life. He begins to talk about lust here in the Scripture. Now, for a minute, I need your attention. I'm going to preach on the subject, living in the lust of the Spirit. Living in the lust of the Spirit. When I think of this word lust, we must understand, this is a big statement, that lust in and of itself is not a bad thing. It gets real quiet. Lust in and of itself is not a bad thing. The object of that lust, of the goal of that lust, what that lust desires is what makes that lust wrong. The Bible says that the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. So I believe we can look at it in the same light that the Spirit lusteth against the flesh. The Spirit has just as much a desire as the flesh does to dwell in our lives, to control our lives, to benefit our lives. When I look at this word lust, Noah Webster described it, defined it as a longing desire, eagerness to possess or enjoy, as the lust of gain. Let me say, the object of the lust not only determines whether it's good or bad, but let me say, the object of your lust will determine what your life's going to be. If you show me, young person, what the desires of your heart is, I can tell you what your life's going to be like. If you'll show me what your lust is set on, I can show you what your future holds. It's just the truth. Whatever we desire, whatever our lust is set on, is what our future holds. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Hey, I believe tonight, and I told you I'm going to preach on living in the lust of the Spirit. So I believe that the best way for us to understand the lust of the Spirit is to first understand the lust of the flesh. To wrap our minds around and to get a grasp around what the lust of the flesh really is. You know, the lust of the flesh, I believe, is the basis for everything sinful that's in our lives. Every sin that we partake in, every dirty thought, everything that we do in our lives begins with the lust of the flesh. The Bible said it right. It said all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all those things begin with the lust of the flesh. Hey, let me say, in the Bible, the first mention of that word lust is in Exodus chapter number 15, verse number 9. This is God here talking to Moses. And he said, the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. God lust. That's what the Bible just said. God said, my lust shall be satisfied. My lust shall be taken care of. He was going to get rid of the enemies in the Israelites' lives. But I believe that the concept of lust goes even further back to in the book of Genesis, of course, where Eve seen that fruit hanging on the tree and her flesh lusting after that fruit. You understand, young person, that the sin nature that you were born into began with the lust of the flesh in the garden. But I believe it goes even further back than that. We know in the book of Isaiah where it talks about Satan, Lucifer, standing before God, wanting to be like God, having a desire to be like God. His flesh desired to be greater than God. Lust, every issue we face, every problem in our life began with lust. Let me say, the lust of the flesh, number one, is incorporated in us all. It's not something we can get ourselves out of. It's not something, you know, we can grow out of. We're born. Brother Anthony, we're born with that lust of the flesh. I see little Silas right there. You know what Silas wants? Silas wants food and he wants sleep. His flesh wants those two things. It's a desire that Silas was born with all the way up to the oldest man in this building. You have desires. Your flesh has desires. It's incorporated in us all. It's not something, young person, that you're ever going to get spiritual enough to get rid of. It's not something that we're ever going to attain to forget about. But the lust of the flesh is incorporated in us all. Let me say that it is constant from our birth. Constant from our birth. It don't take no time off. It don't take vacation. I don't have no sick days. I deal each and every day with the lust of the flesh. Each and every day I have to wake up and look my dirty rotten self in the mirror and realize I got to go another day. I'm dealing with the lust of the flesh. Hey, it's constant from my birth. It's not something that just leaves us every now and then. It's not something that we can get rid of, but it's something we've always got to deal with. It's constant from birth. But let me say, number two, that it's catered by its host. It's catered by its host. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, when you think of the word cater, you think of being fed. You know who builds that flesh up? You know who strengthens that flesh? You know who gives that flesh substance? You know who lets that flesh live? It's you and I. It's catered by its host. It's catered by the one that's carried around. Matt Panther's flesh is fed by Matt Panther. Anthony White's flesh is fed by Anthony White. Each and every one of us cater to our flesh. We cater to its desires. We cater to its wants. I think about that lust, you know, lust of the flesh. It desires intimacy. It desires communication. It desires to be personal with what it lusts for. Desires to be close with the desires of or the object of that lust. It's constant from birth. It's catered by its host. But let me say, and it's incorporated in us all, it's controlled by no man. So no man can control it. Nobody in this world has the ability. It don't, like I said, it don't matter. I can be a preacher. I can be a pastor. Brother Anthony will tell you the same thing. Brother Rick back there will tell you the same thing. Don't matter how far along you get with God, you're never going to control your flesh. It's always going to be there. It's always going to rear its ugly face to us. We find the lust of the flesh, number one, is incorporated in us all. But let me say, it is ignited by our actions. The lust of the flesh is not only incorporated in a soul, but I believe it's ignited by our actions. We're the ones that cause it to stay alive. We're the ones that give it its strength. We're the ones that give it its substance. I believe, number one, it begins with our senses. It begins with our senses. Now, I was under the impression, I suppose I'm right. This is a youth meeting. And I'll just begin with this, with the senses. We got to look at our sight sometimes. Now, we're dealing with the lust of the flesh. I would have to say in 2018, now Brother Anthony, I don't know if you agree with this. I believe every generation has a sin of the day. They have a specific sin that is probably the greatest sin among their generation. Something that everybody does, something that everybody partakes in, something that that used to seem like a big deal, but this generation's kind of swept under the rug. I would say in 2018, the sin of our young people and the sin of the day is pornography. It is. Let me give you some statistics. Every second, 28,258 users are watching pornography on the internet. 44% of married men are addicted to pornography. 71% of male high school students admit to having watched pornography. Admit, not just the ones that won't admit to it. A third of all pornography use is by women. I do believe that pornography is the sin of the day. But let me say, I believe that the reason that it's the sin of the day is we are taking no steps to stop it. We're taking no steps to stop it. Now you say, well, brother, I don't know who you think you are. I know who I am. I'm a 22-year-old man that ain't never partook in it because of parents that scared me to death to do it. All right, I know it's a youth meeting, but I'm going to need you parents' attention for just a minute. All right, let me say that I have a real issue, Brother Anthony. We got generations of 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds walking around with unlimited access to the internet. Now, parent, I understand you want to make them happy. I understand you want to make them likable at school. You want to make them popular. But to giving them that access to that internet, it's like sticking a gun to this young man's forehead and telling him not to pull the trigger. Hey, I don't understand why we say we don't want our young people addicted to sexual sins when we lay it in their lap, when we're the ones that pay for it for them to have it. I don't understand. I'm sick and tired. I work with young people every day. That's what I do at Love Valley. I work with them every day. I'm tired of young parents coming to me crying about their young person being addicted to sexual sin. And it began with pornography on a phone that they gave to them. On a cell phone that they provided to them when they were 13. Why do they need one? I've said this, I've preached this message a few times. I still have not been given one reason. Not one reason. I'd love to hear it. You might change my mind. I've not been given one reason why anybody that does not have a license needs a cell phone. I ain't been given one. They just don't. They don't. It's like sticking a loaded gun to their head, telling them not to pull the trigger. You might as well shoot them yourself. You might as well kill them yourself. You might as well shoot them dead by yourself. Quit wasting time. Just go ahead and get rid of them. That's what it's like we're trying to do. Hey, pornography has infested our churches. It has infested our youth groups. I'm tired of talking to young men my age that have been addicted since they were 13, 14, 15-year-old. You say, well, preacher, what can we do about it? Well, I can tell you what my parents did. You say, well, you're not a parent. All right, well, I'll tell you what my parents did. All right, I think I had the best parents in the world. You know, we didn't have laptops and tablets and cell phone. We didn't have, the first phone I got was when I was 18 years old and got my license. First one I got. We had one internet accessible device in the whole house. It was a desktop sat right beside the TV, right beside my daddy's recliner. And you bet he knew when that computer was on. He had a program on there and knew when the computer was on. So if he was gone and he got back home and realized it had been on, you got your tail beat. You know what kept me? It wasn't my spiritual walk. Now, this is a big statement. It was not my spiritual walk, young person, that kept me from getting addicted to some filth. It was the fact I had some parents that cared enough about me to not care about what I wanted. Not to care about if I was popular or not. Not to care about if I was happy with their decisions. But cared enough about me to realize the benefits of keeping me and protecting me from those things. I really want to know why they need it. I'm open. You can raise your hand now. They don't. There's no reason for it. Hey, the sight, the things that we look at, young people, those are that I believe with all my heart, that is the beginning to giving in to the lust of the flesh. It begins with our sight. I think about pornography, but even beyond that, I mean, good Lord, the movies and the TV shows that we have today. I mean, anymore we've got homosexual, we've got alcohol and nudity and drugs and violence, adultery, whatever else. I would pose the question to you tonight, parent. How do you expect your young person, how do you expect your child to abstain from those things if it's in the living room they live in? When it's on the TV, it's in the very lit. You say, well, I don't have it in my house. I don't let those things go on in my house. Well, you let it in your living room on the TV. How do you expect them to refrain from it, to abstain from those things when you're the one that allows it in that living room? I think about the pornography, the dirty movies. Hey, even social media. Lord, I've got an Instagram, I do. But I think about Snapchat, all the dirty stories I've heard from that. I mean, you can't hardly get on any social media anymore without ads and advertisements and whatever else popping up, some psycho trying to get a hold of you, some psycho trying to get your number, whatever else. Hey, we must understand the avenues that Satan takes. We must understand the roads in our young people's life that Satan takes. And I believe with all my heart, those are the ways. Hey, it would probably disgust you, parent, if you realized all that went on Snapchat. It would. I'm a young person. I know what goes on. It would disgust you to realize what all that little app. Hey, it would take a New York lawyer to find everything your child's got on his phone. It would take a New York lawyer to find everything your girl's got on her phone. They've got apps for apps for apps for apps, behind this and behind that and behind this and behind that. They know how to get on the internet without even hitting the internet. Hey, they know how to get around you. The best case scenario is just to not let them have it. Amen. I know y'all don't like that, but I believe it's the truth. Amen. I believe it is ignited by our sight. But I believe it's ignited by what we hear. You know, it's still, whether it's 2018 or not, whether everybody else is doing it or not. It is still wrong to listen to rock and roll, to listen to country, to listen to whatever else. What happened? What happened to a generation that was focused on portraying themselves in a Christian manner when they were at the workplace and played Christian music? What happened to a generation that was worried about their own selves, worried about their spiritual wall? Hey, you ain't got no business being around anybody who does not compliment your faith. And if their music does not compliment their faith, cut them off. Get them out of your life. What we hear, what we see, what we touch. The things that our hands partake in. I'm that sick and tired of a generation that we take that verse, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Apparently we think it means it's good for a man not to touch a woman a lot. Because apparently a little bit's okay to get by with playing with her hair and touching her shoulder and everything else. Young man, the best case scenario for you is to leave her alone altogether. The Bible said it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Is there any questions left in that? Is there anything left to comprehend in that? I feel like, it's pretty simple. It's incorporated in us all. I believe that it is ignited. I believe that it is incorporated in us all. It's ignited by our own selves. But let me say, not only that, but let me say that it is it's incorporated in us all. I done lost my place here. Lord, have mercy. It's incorporated in us all. Hey, it's insatiated by the world. There's nothing in this world that's ever going to fill your desires. Hey, I think about any type of drug. The key to those drugs that the world tries to get you on is the fact that the very first one sets the bar so high. Yeah, that drug, it builds you up so high, young person, and it makes you feel so good. And the reason they keep going back is not that they can't live without it. It's because they're always trying to attain to what they had the first time, and they'll never get back. Hey, the lust of the flesh is insatiated by the world. It can never be satisfied by the things of the world. It always wants more. It's never happy. It always wants more of this and more of that. It always wants to go a little farther with that girl, young man. It always wants a little more of this. It always wants another sip. The lust of the flesh always wants more. It's never happy. It's insatiated by the world. It's like a drug. It always wants more. Let me say, it ain't going to share its glory. The flesh ain't going to let you lean on both sides of the fence. The flesh ain't going to let you have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You got to make up your mind what you're going to do. Because the spirit ain't going to share its glory and the flesh ain't going to share its. They lust against each other. So the question tonight is, I said I was going to preach on the lust of the spirit and we preached on the lust of the flesh for a minute. The question tonight is, how do we live in the lust of the spirit? I think about this story that I heard about Muhammad Ali. And, Muhammad Ali, I guess, might be considered, he considered himself the greatest of all time. And I guess he might be. But you talk about a record. I mean, that man defeated Sonny Liston and Joe Frazier and George Foreman. Some of the greatest boxers that ever lived got demolished by Muhammad Ali. And he was posed the question one time by a reporter said, "Mr. Ali, how do you do it? You go against the greatest that ever lived. What is your goal when you go into that match?" And his answer was simple. "I make sure that I was better at what they're best at." Whatever that they were the best at, whatever, if they were strikers, if they were rumblers, whatever they were, whatever they were the best at, I made sure to get better at that than them. So I believe with all my heart tonight, the way, young person, we're going to defeat the lust of the flesh is to let the lust of the Spirit be stronger than him. To cause the lust of the Spirit to have greater reign, to have a greater control in our lives. Let me say, number one, under the lust of the Spirit, just like the lust of flesh, it's incorporated in every believer. Everyone that was born into this world has the lust of the flesh. Oh, but aren't you glad everybody that's been born in a heavenly conceiving room has the lust of the Spirit? It's not something we earn. It's not something we have to reach in our Christian life. But aren't you glad, Brother Rick, that the Lord gave us the Spirit? He gave us the ability to live right. He gave us the opportunity to live right. And let me say, young person, you ain't never going to have a desire to do more for God than He wants you to do. He's always going to want you to do more than what you're ever going to desire. It's incorporated in every believer. It's constant from our birth. At salvation, we receive the Spirit. But let me say, it's catered by its host. Catered by its host. You will be as close to God as you want to be. You're going to pray as much as you want to pray. You're going to read the Word of God as much as you want to read it. You're going to serve as much, young person. You can have every bit of God that you want of Him. Hey, you decide. You must decide, number one, to put yourself in the right atmosphere. You must decide to put yourself in the right atmosphere. Let me make this statement. There ain't never been one sin committed that was not first given the opportunity to happen. Hey, ain't nobody ever got addicted to nothing. Ain't nobody ever messed up with anybody. Ain't no sin ever been committed that they first did not put themselves in the atmosphere to do so. That they first did not give the flesh the ability and the opportunity to do so. Young person, if you really want to live for God, if you really want to go somewhere with Him, and I believe, I've watched some of y'all, I believe you do. Hey, young man, if you really want to be something for God, it don't begin up here. It just begins putting yourself in the right atmosphere. Putting yourself in the right situations. Hey, if you ain't never alone with a girl, you ain't never going to mess up. If you ain't never around alcohol, you ain't never going to drink it. If you ain't never around the drugs, you ain't never going to partake of it. If you ain't around that one that's gossiping all the time, you ain't going to gossip. Hey, the things that you don't want to do, don't put yourself in that situation. It ain't going to happen. It's pretty simple, ain't it? I don't feel like that seems like rocket science. You know, if we don't give ourselves the opportunity, it ain't going to happen. We must put ourselves, but as I said, it's a decision you must make. Brother Anthony can't put you in the right atmosphere. Young ladies, Miss Teresa can't put yourself in the right atmosphere. You've got to decide for yourself that you're going to put yourself in the right place, that you're going to be in the right place when the opportunity is available. Must decide to put yourself in the right atmosphere. Let me say, you must decide to put yourself in the right audience. Right audience. You know, ain't nobody just decides one day that they're going to throw their life away. Ain't nobody decides that. Ain't nobody just decides one day that they're going to do this or do that. They're going to partake in this or they're going to partake in that. That's not a decision that's automatically made. The majority of the time, and for the most part, it's not something you decide on your own. Most of the time, it's somebody in here trying to get you to do this. Trying to get you to do that. Trying to get you to break this rule. Trying to get you to break that rule. Trying to get you to go here. Trying to get you to go there. Trying to let them do this. Trying to let them do that. Whatever it is, it begins with deciding to put yourself in the right audience. Hey, you know what the right audience is? Where you at right now? Hey, I don't understand, young ladies that have a desire to find a husband anywhere outside of God's house. Why can't you find somebody that has proven their serving the Lord? Why can't you find somebody, young man, that has proven their self in the work of God? Hey, put yourself in the right friends. Why you gotta have that friend that always wants to be in trouble? Why you gotta have that friend that always wants you to do this or wants you to do that? Why can't you focus on putting yourself in the right audience? You'll be amazed at how much easier it is to stay away from sexual desires and from alcohol and from whatever else that you might struggle with. You'll be amazed what kind of difference it'll make if you just put yourself among the right people. Somebody ain't talking in your ear about it all the time. Get somebody that wants to talk about God. Get somebody that wants to talk about the Word of God. Find somebody that wants to pray and wants to go a little farther with the Lord. Must decide to put yourself in the right atmosphere. Decide to put yourself in the right audience. But let me say, I believe you must decide to take the right aim. Take the right aim. Brother Rick, I believe a lot of the issues we have today are young people that never get set goals for the Lord. They've got, and I'll be honest, a lot of it's parental driven. We got young people that every desire they've got for their life has to do with money, whatever it is with the flesh. That's what their desires are laid upon. That's what their goals are. You ask them, what do you want to do in life? When's the last time, Brother Rick, you had somebody tell you they want to be a missionary? Yeah. And that don't just happen. You know, when's the last time that we heard somebody, Brother Anthony, say, I want to be a pastor. I want to be a preacher. I want to be a preacher's wife. I believe with all my heart the way that you are going to live in the lust of the Spirit and that you're going to cater to that is by deciding you're going to take the right aim. Why don't we set some goals tonight, young people? Decide in our hearts, I'm going to get this. I don't care who comes in my way. I don't care who tries to get in my way. I don't care what problems come in my life. I'm going to focus on this, and I'm going to take this. I'm going to get this. Let's set some goals for the Lord. Decide you're going to put yourself in the right atmosphere. Decide you're going to put yourself in the right audience. Decide you're going to take the right aim. But let me show you, God, to just decide you're not going to go astray. Every day ain't going to be easy. Every day for the Lord ain't going to be a cakewalk. I'm about the farthest thing there's ever been from a prosperity preacher. All right? I understand living full of the Lord is not always easy. And truth of the matter is, this gets harder and harder every single day. It's just the truth of the matter. But we must decide in our hearts that no matter what comes our way, no matter, as I said, what gets in the way, we ain't going to quit. We ain't going to give up on God. He's already done enough for you, young person, if you've been born again, to give Him the rest of your life. Hey, it's catered, it's constant from birth. It's catered by its host. But let me say that it's controlled by no man, just as the flesh. You know, it's all up to you if the lust of the Spirit is controlled. It's all up, it's controlled by one man. It's all up to you if the lust of the Spirit has control in your life. It's not up to God. It's really not. There ain't nobody wants it more than God, but God's a gentleman. He ain't going to force it in our lives. It's up to you if you're going to live in the lust of the Spirit. Hey, Brother Anthony, I know you would do everything you could to get him to live that way. I know he would. If he could make you do it, he would make you do it. But he can't. Can't nobody but your own self decide that you're going to let the lust of the Spirit control your life. Leonard Ravenhill made the statement one time, a man who is intimate with God is never intimidated by a man. Right. Never. Hey, when you got a good relationship with God, ain't no man going to scare you. Right. Ain't nothing in your life, no man in your life, no woman in your life going to fear you. Why? Because God's in control. It is controlled by one man. Let me say, not only that it is incorporated in every believer, but just as the lust of the flesh is also ignited by our actions. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, I think about our secret time. Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 6 said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Psalm 91, verse number 1 said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hey, young person, you really want to do something for God? You really want to be something for God? We must learn to have a prayer life. Hey, that secret place, I believe, is a hidden place. You got somewhere in your life that you know you can get alone with God for a little while? Hey, the greatest things the Lord's ever done for me never happened in the house of God. None of those things ever happened sitting on a pew. They never even happened when anybody else was around. But when the Lord really changed my life, when the Lord answered some of the greatest prayers in my life, had come from me getting alone with Him, determining, finding myself a place. I've got several places. I've got a place at work. I got a place at home. I got a place at the church. Wherever I am, wherever you are, find you a place alone with God that you are determined to get in the secret place. It's a hidden place. It's a holy place. Amen. It's a holy place. We can enter freely. Why? Because of what Christ did on Calvary. We ain't got to go through nobody. There ain't nobody that's got to get us access to it. Hey, we can take it. Hey, ain't that good to know, young person? Whatever comes in your life, you can take it to the God of heaven. Aren't you glad to know that it doesn't matter what anybody says? It don't matter what anybody does. All that matters is what God says. And you're the one that's able to go to Him about it. It's a holy place. It's a heavenly place. Supernatural things begin in secret. Things that no man can explain. Things that you won't understand in your life. Things that God does for you that you realize that He done a lot more for you than you ever dreamed He could. A lot more than you ever pray that He could. Those things begin in the secret place. Amen. Our secret time. But let me say it's ignited by our sanctuary time. It is. Hey, I believe this statement to be true. I don't put much faith in salvation that can't get you to your home church to get me to heaven. Amen. I don't put much faith in somebody living a separated life. If that separated life can't get them to the house of God, why would we put much faith in them? Why would we put much trust in them? Hey, we must learn to be in the house of God. There's nowhere safer for you, young person, than where you sit tonight. There's nowhere that you'll ever able to be safer in this walk of life than it is sitting in Gospel Light Baptist Church. Amen. It's ignited by our secret time. It's ignited by our sanctuary time. Let me say, I believe it's ignited by our servant time. It's satiated by the world, just like the flesh. It's like a drug, ain't it, brother? Once you get along with God for a little while, once you really tap into the power of God, once God really does something for you, once He really changes your life. I remember the first time, like it was yesterday, Sand Mountain Bible Camp. I was 13 years old, the first time I really felt like I got a hold of God. Yeah, man, laying under an altar, begging God to change my life, committing myself to Him. And that's a time, if you ain't got that in your life, I beg you. I beg you, get to that place in your life because it's like a drug. Hell, man, it's something I want more and more of. I may never reach it again. I may never get to that plateau again. I may never get to that point again. Oh, but you better believe one thing. I'm going to do everything I can to get there. You better believe one thing. I ain't going to quit trying. I'm going to get everything I got to get back to that place. Why? Because it means something to me. It's where the Lord changed my life. It's insatiated. Oh, it's a desire in my heart that no man can help. No amount of preaching can change. No amount of prayer can change. There's only a God in heaven that can satisfy the desires in my heart. Hey, we must ignite it with our secret time, with our sanctuary time, and with our serving time. Amen. I'm done preaching. I want to tell you, young person, what the importance of lusting for the Spirit is. What are the important, why is it that big a deal? You know, I'm afraid a lot of times and I've done it myself, we as preachers, you know, we cut and we cut and we cut and we try to rub it on, but we don't tell them, you know, what the benefits of it are. You just leave them, well, you need to do this. They go home thinking, well, why? Well, let me tell you why. I believe living in the lust of the Spirit preserves precious things. Preserves precious things. Hey, young person, I pray to God that you still got your purity. But you know, purity is more than just being a virgin. Purity in your mind, purity in your speech, purity in what your hands have felt, purity in what your body's partaken of. I pray to God that you're pure in all those areas. And you know, living in the lust of the Spirit preserves that. You know, the world can talk all they want about how you're missing out, but the truth of the matter is you can do what they're doing every single day. They can never have what you have. They threw it away. Once it's gone, it's gone. You can have it any day, but you've got something special. You've got something important. Hey, it preserves precious. It preserves purity. It preserves families. It does. Hey, your marriage in a wreck. You got a rebel child. What issues going on in your family? Let me say, how about instead of us looking first towards the issue, we look first toward ourselves. Are we where we should be with the Lord? Are we giving in to the lust of the flesh? Or are we living in the lust of the Spirit? Hey, what kind of difference would it make in our homes if each and every one of us determined for one week, that we were going to give all of our life to serving the Lord? We're going to give our whole, no, we weren't going to give into the flesh none. Hey, I believe there's a lot of marriages that would be put back together. There's homes that would be put back together. There's families today that you could raise your hand and say, my family's here today because we determined we were going to live in the Spirit. It preserves precious things, purity, families. It preserves your testimony. It's sad, but apparently I used to hear preaching about it all the time when I was younger, about keeping your testimony, about keeping a good testimony. I've heard that statement made 1,000 times. It takes years to build it up. It takes 1 second to tear it down. And I remember them old preachers, man, up in them mountains. It seemed like they had a finger that was 12 foot long pointing down at me, talking about how one instance in your life, one sin in your life, one moment in your life could ruin everything that you've ever worked for. But it's the truth. Hey, we've got a testimony to uphold. We got a testimony for our church. We got a testimony for our families. But you've got your own testimony. I don't know where you go to school, but if we went to school with you tomorrow, what kind of testimony? If we went and asked your best friend at school, tell us about little Tommy, whatever. All right. What would they tell us? Would they tell us, he lives for the Lord, man. He's really, he really serves God. He's got a clean mouth. He tries to read and pray. What would the answer be? I believe it preserves precious things. It powers potential things. Hey, there's things in your life that you will have the opportunity to do, whether you see it now. Hey, Superman, the Lord wants to do something with your life. You got potential. We've all got potential. Living in the lust of the Spirit, that's what gives that power. Those things, God already has the will, His will planned for your life. He's got potential for you, but it's up to you to empower that potential. And it's empowered by living in the lust of the Spirit. It preserves precious things. It powers potential things. But I'm done with this. It promotes peculiar things. There's things in our lives. There's things that I look back. I'm 22 years old, so I haven't been in it real long. I've been preaching about 8 years. But I could look back on my short life and see how there's so many things that I can't explain. I don't understand. Brother Rick, I don't know how I got the gospel light on a Sunday night. If you're true with yourself, you can probably say you don't know how you got to where you are today. It's just the truth. But hey, there's things that have happened in my life that I can't explain, peculiar things. But God meant it unto good. God meant it unto righteousness. God meant it unto the best for us. Hey, I beg and plead with you. Don't live in the lust of the flesh. Don't give in to it. Got so much, so many things that the Lord wants for us. So many things that the Lord has for you young people tonight. Just don't give in to the lust of the flesh. Decide tonight. Determine tonight. Make up your mind that you're going to give everything to the Lord. Living in the lust of the Spirit. Brother Anthony, I'm done.